this morning on lesson number 3. And we have 5 of them to do. And I hope that it has been blessing you and increasing your knowledge and understanding of last day events as we are truly living in those times. Today's lesson is entitled The Spirit of Babylon. This is a very interesting subject. And we try to keep these teachings to right at about 30 minutes. And I have a lot of ground to cover today in a very small amount of time. But this particular subject is very interesting. It's very intriguing. There's so much to say about this subject that we're going to talk about today. But I'm going to give you kind of the main things, the main characteristics about Babylon. In Scripture, there is a reference to the empire of Babylon. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And then there's a reference to what is called, or what we would refer to as, ecclesiastical Babylon. Ecclesiastical Babylon is Babylon in the spiritual sense, or in the religious realm. And that's going to be our focus today. You know, the thing about Satan and his demon spirits is that they are all spirit beings. So every generation from the very beginning of time has to do with, with the network, the work of demon spirits, Satan's kingdom of darkness. The Scripture is very clear that in the last days, and we're going to read some very important things from the book of Revelation today, but the Scripture is very clear that in the last days, as time wraps up, as the world wraps up, as we know it, that there is what is called Babylon the Great. So that's what today's lesson is about. I hope that it will give you some insight and some revelation, you know, into this ecclesiastical system, because it is an organized system that is inspired by Satan. It dominates the world. You know, it's like Jesus taught his disciples in the Gospel of John. He said, "You are no longer of this world because I have called you out of this world." So when we talk about the system of Babylon, or last days Babylon, we are talking about an organized resistance, an organized rebellion against God and against, you know, the things of God, the things that God holds dear, the things that he has instituted. You know, so that's kind of what we're going to deal with today. So let's get started. I have 2 main headings that we are going to expound upon today. 2 main headings. We're going to look at and talk about the darkness of Babylon. That's our main heading, number 1. And secondly, we're going to talk about the last days spirit of Babylon. So we're going to hit a little bit of history today. And again, I would encourage you, you know, you can go to the, if you have the church app, I've been mentioning that. If you don't have the West Point Church app, download it on your phone. You can pull up all of these notes, all of these syllabus notes for all of the lessons, even the ones that we have done prior, because this is part 4, part 1, part 2, part 3. You can access that through the church app. You can also go to the church website, and I would encourage you to download all of those, print it out for your personal study as you, you know, contemplate these things and meditate upon the teachings of the Word of God, so that we will be prepared for these days in which we are living. You know, Old Testament history tells us, and this is kind of the historical context, you know, of the empire of Babylon. Old Testament history teaches us about an ancient walled city between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers that served as the capital of the Babylonian Empire. So this is, you know, just a little tidbit of information concerning historical Babylon, the historical empire of Babylon. The Babylonian Empire destroyed Jerusalem in 587 BC, and it carried the captives, the Jewish captives, away into Babylon. You know, that brings us, into the book of Daniel. You know, Daniel and his Hebrew friends, they were aristocrats, you know, that were carried away as captives into Babylon. That's why the book of Daniel is such an amazing book to study, an amazing book to read, you know, of all that was transpiring there. You know, Babylon, you know, is a very important teaching that we find in Scripture in reference to the last days. You know, biblical writers often portrayed the ancient capital city of Babylon, you know, as that which is, you know, a model of paganism and idolatry. You know, so Babylon was always associated with paganism and idolatry. You know, the book of Revelation portrays Babylon as the system of the world that is in rebellion against God. Babylon is a word picture for a society that persecuted God's people, but which God will bring down in judgment. It's all recorded in the amazing book of Revelation. So let's visit some of those verses today. We're going to start with Revelation 18. Two verses here, verse 2 and 3. It says, "And he shouted with a mighty voice, she is fallen. Mighty Babylon is fallen. She has become a resort and dwelling place of demons. A dungeon," man, this phrase is very intriguing that we find next, "a dungeon haunted by every loathsome spirit, an abode for every filthy and detestable bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of her passionate unchastity, and the rulers and leaders of the earth have joined with her and committing fornication." In parentheses, the Amplified Bible, it says idolatry. Because remember, this is symbolism. You know, it's pictures that we are given. He goes on and he says, "The businessmen of the earth have become rich with the wealth of her excessive luxury and wantonness." These are some intriguing statements that we find in the Word of God in reference to Babylon. So let's define the darkness of Babylon. This is our first heading. That brings us all the way back to Genesis chapter 11, to the story, a very well-known story of what is called the Tower of Babel. And this is what we read in Genesis 11:4. "The people said to one another, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.'" Now that statement right there is in contrast to what God instructed the people to do after the flood of Noah. So this is a post-flood period. All right, so God instructed the people to repopulate the earth, to replenish the earth. So this is in rebellion to God's command. Because notice what it says, "Let us build ourselves." They weren't building this for God. "Let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top will reach the heavens. Let us make a name," not the Lord's name, "let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So some things to point out here under our first heading of the darkness of Babylon. Here's number one. See, the Tower of Babel was a pyramid-like structure made of brick, and it was connected to pagan religions. Now, most of biblical construction was based upon stone construction. You may remember Jesus in the New Testament, you know, as he was about to give the disciples the teachings of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, he said, "See all of this, all of these structures, this temple." He said there will come a time when there will not be one stone upon another that shall not be cast down. All right, but in Babylon, they didn't have stone quarries. They didn't have stone available, so they built it with brick. So it was a pyramid-like structure made of brick, and it was connected to pagan religions. Now, history tells us that it was a ziggurat structure with converging stairways that led up to the temple that was on the top. It was truly a stairway to heaven. Does that sound familiar? Popular rock music culture, a stairway to heaven. You know, so that's exactly what they were building, my friends. Here's the second thing in reference to the Tower of Babel. See, the Tower of Babel was an act of defiance and rebellion against the authority of God. They were against God. It was against the authority of God. When mankind is in rebellion, they are always in rebellion against the authority structure of God. God is all about authority. He is the ultimate authority. Then he establishes authority structures. That's why we have government in nations, because government provides a safety structure. And isn't it amazing that even in the United States today, what we see is a rebellion against authority? Yes, we know there's a lot of things going on in the world. We know there's hatred, there's racism, you know, there's prejudice, there's all of these things, you know, but what we see goes beyond all of that, because what we see happening today really is a rejection of authority. God is the one who establishes authority. So we go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 11, and we read this incredible story about the Tower of Babel. You know, so the Tower of Babel, it was an act of defiance and rebellion against the authority of God. See, the building of the tower was a humanistic attempt to thwart God's plan for mankind to replenish and repopulate the earth. Because remember, this building of the Tower of Babel was after the flood of Noah. So a post-flood period. All right, here's the third thing in reference to the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was an act of self-glorification. The builders were intending to establish their own culture, establish their own community, establish their own religion, but there was only one major problem. It excluded God. My friends, there's a reason why we have the phrase in America on our money, "In God we trust." Any system that acts independently of God is not going to succeed. It cannot last, because without God's power, without his direction, without his plan and his purpose, it can only last for a small amount of time, and then it collapses. It will collapse. And, the Tower of Babel is an excellent example of that. They were wanting to establish their own culture, their own community. Yes, even establish their own religion. But again, it's man-centered. It's not God-centered. So, whenever there is a act of independence, and whatever act it may be, whatever project it may be, whatever purpose there may be, when it is in complete independence from God, it is going to come down. It may last for a little while, but ultimately it is going to come down. And that should even teach us, about the precarious position of the United States of America today. If it doesn't stay built upon God-ordained structure, it can't last. It will collapse. It will come down. My friends, we have biblical examples of how true this is. I love this verse in Psalm 127:1. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord," listen to this, "guards the city, What did the people do in reference to the Tower of Babel? They were building a city. Let us build ourselves a city and a tower. But Psalm 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Man, what tremendous insight into the days that we are living in today. Well, let me keep moving forward because time, it is a wasting. Under our main heading here of of the darkness of Babylon, we can't visit this without visiting a prime character by the name of Nimrod. Why is he a primary character in this storyline? Because Nimrod was a type of the coming Antichrist. We read this in Genesis 10. It says, Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. So here's some things about Nimrod. Nimrod was the great grandson of Noah through the line of Cush. He was a mighty leader who led an open rebellion against God. According to the historian Josephus, Nimrod said he would be revenged on God if he should have the mind to drown the world again. So in other words, Nimrod was instrumental in the building of the Tower of Babel. His understanding, his purpose was, if the world floods again, we will be elevated above it. I mean, how foolish to even think that. You know, the Bible says that the flood covered even the highest mountain on the earth. So would Nimrod think that he could build a tower higher than the highest mountain peak on the face of the earth and thus be protected from God? How foolish is that? You know, but that's how the mind of man thinks when it is operating independent of God. Another thing about Nimrod is that Nimrod foreshadowed the Antichrist because his intent was to rule the world. Nimrod was seeking a position of power and a position of authority independent of God. Listen to what this says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. It says, it was granted to him, this is a reference to the coming Antichrist, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. My friends, in these days that we are living in, it is absolutely essential. The most important thing in all of life is to know that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. The moment you become a born again Christian and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you surrender your life to Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, they will have to stand before the great white throne judgment of Almighty God. And they are Christ rejectors. That's why we must make sure that we are saved. Make sure we are born again Christians. We must make sure we are witnessing to our families, to our friends, and inviting people to church, inviting people to receive Christ, inviting them into the message of the gospel. Because, my friends, we are at that time. Let me move on because, like I said, time, it is a wasting. Let's talk about our second main heading today on our syllabus outline, the last day spirit of Babylon. This is what we read in Revelation 17. He says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls then came and spoke to me saying, come with me, I will show you the doom, the sentence, the judgment of the great harlot, again in parentheses, idolatrous. Remember, we're talking in symbolic terms. He's given us a picture. Who is seated on many waters. She with whom the rulers of the earth have joined in prostitution, again, idolatry, and with the wine of whose immorality, idolatry, the inhabitants of the earth have become intoxicated. And the angel bore me away in the spirit into a desert wilderness. And I saw a woman seated on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous titles or names. And he had seven heads and 10 horns. Man, there's so much in this. Let's real quickly expound of what all of this means. First of all, we are given a picture here of Satan's organized religion. See, the devil is very sophisticated, and his kingdom of darkness, his strategies and his schemes, they are carefully designed. They are carefully plotted out because the devil is highly organized. So what we have here is Satan's organized world system. So what does that mean? Well, several things. First of all, see, Babylon is the devil's network of evil spiritual powers that will seek to control men's minds in order to establish a false religious mindset. My friends, we are there. People have established already in their minds a belief system. Why? Because they are under Satan's world system. Babylon is his network. It is the devil's network of evil spiritual powers. We're talking about demonic spirits. We made a reference in the first lesson, last day's madness, of what Paul said to Timothy. You know, that people would turn away from truth and they would give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. All of that is part of Satan's organized world system. Last day spirit of Babylon. Listen to what Revelation 17:13 says. It says, these are of one mind and they give their power and authority to the beast. That is the world at large that does not know God. They, just like it says here, they are of one mind because their mind is under the influence of this evil network of spiritual powers. It's Satan's system. It's the Babylonian system. Here's the second thing. See, the Babylonian spirit is at work in the educational institutions, in the economic systems of the world, and in the political realm. And it is also operating in false religious organizations. Because what we're talking about is ecclesiastical Babylon. That in the realm of the religious world. That in the realm of the spiritual. So that's why this is, you know, this is, I wish I had more time to really, I mean, there's so much to talk about under this particular subject. But I'm just giving you, you know, some of these main characteristics. Here's the third thing. See, the great harlot that we just read about in Revelation, this is what it refers to. It refers to the worldwide, listen to me, worldwide, economical apostate religion of the last days. Prostitution and adultery is used figuratively here to illustrate idolatry and unfaithfulness to God. Prostitution and adultery is used figuratively to illustrate idolatry and unfaithfulness to God. You could trace that all the way through the Old Testament and all the way into the New Testament and see example after example after example of how that is illustrated. We are talking about a last day spirit of Babylon. Remember, we're dealing with spiritual beings. So spiritual beings are not limited by a lifespan as you and I are. They are active in every time period. They are active in every generation because they are spiritual beings. And they will continue to do so until God judges them in the end of time and brings them down. Well, let me keep moving. We got to wrap this up here. I got several things that I want to conclude with. Here's the fourth thing about this last day spirit of Babylon. See, the Babylonian spirit is a culture and a belief system that will be intensified in the last days. It will be intensified. It is a spirit. Never lose sight of that. It is a spirit. It is a last day's spirit. And it will possess an attitude of hatred and arrogance. We see it operating in the United States of America right now. Even as I speak, we see it operating today. Jesus, remember, he said, we talked about lawlessness last week. Jesus said, because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. So, you know, there will not be any love. There will be unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, hatred. All of it, my friends, falls under the Babylonian spirit. Peter made a reference to it in 2 Peter 2:18. He says, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. What is that telling us? It's how the spirit of Babylon is active in every generation. Kings and kingdoms are symbolized by mountains that rise and fall. The last king and the last kingdom of the last days to arise in power will be the kingdom of the Antichrist. Revelation 17:9, he said, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. All right, so this is a reference to world powers. Kings and kingdoms are symbolized by mountains that rise and fall. Daniel also gave us insight into it in Daniel 7. He said, the ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. In other words, there's going to be some conflict that takes place at some point. He said, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, and he shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. That, my friend, is what the Antichrist does. Think of in government how they are changing laws, an abandonment from God's structure of authority, of God's design for morality, God's design of law. They're changing it. That's the Antichrist spirit. That's what he does. He says they will change times and they will change law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. That's making a reference to the time period of the tribulation period. All right, here's number six. The Babylonian spirit rules over entire nations. It rejects the word of God, and it is against believers and Jesus Christ. Always has been, and it always will be until the end of time. Revelation 17:5. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits, they are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So the Babylonian spirit rules over entire people groups based upon Revelation 17:15. Number seven, the Babylonian spirit will inject a level of evil into the cultures of the world that has never been seen before. Now, I know that's a little scary, isn't it? But that's what it's beginning to do even now. It is injecting a level of evil like the world has never seen before. This system of wicked beliefs and philosophies will produce bondage in the hearts of people to ungodly lifestyles. That's what he does. Number eight, the Babylonian system will be judged by God, and it will be completely destroyed. Because remember, anything that is not built, unless the Lord builds a house, anything that is built independently of God, it can only last a small amount of time, and then it crumbles. Even Jesus said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. It has an end. So it will be judged by God and completely restored. Revelation 18:20 says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. God is the one who executes judgment. The ninth and final thing, my friend, nothing in this world is eternal. We are encouraged to keep our eyes on what is unseen. And I'll leave you with 2 Corinthians 4:18, and we're going to pray. He says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's live for the things that are eternal. Father, I pray for every person hearing this teaching today. I pray for every person that may be separated from relationship with you. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will convict them of their sin, and that even now they would cry out to the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, I pray for every born again believer. I pray for those, Lord God, who may have lost their fire. Lord, they may be living in apathy right now, living in a spirit of compromise. I pray right now you would convict them. I pray you would return them back to be filled with your spirit. God, give them a thirst and a hunger for you, a hunger for your word like they've never had before. I declare it in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, my friends. We are praying for you and believing God for your victory in Jesus' name. Amen.